Zach,
Hector.
I got something to tell you, to confess.
Oh.
Off the market.
I know. I know. Look at that ring, ladies and
Oh,
gentlemen.
God, it's blinging.
And look at that. Hector is no longer a
So,
free
all you
agent.
sexy fellas out there, just know I'm off the market.
No longer a free agent. My man has officially been drafted, Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah. I came in the 15th round of the 30, 47th year draft.
Yeah, man. How does it feel? You're what, a week now? A week removed from your wedding? How does it feel?
Not a whole week, but hand feels heavy, bank account feels light.
Welcome back from a long hiatus, one of the longest hiatus we've ever taken since we've started this thing, to
Seriously,
another
you've been gone
episode.
longer than I have because I did the last episode.
I know, man. I know it's this job, these kids. You got one on the way. I'm probably moving next month. This life is moving, man.
No, I feel you. I feel you. I mean, I missed last week. I had the obviously the wedding, the planning, the weekend was, dude, I don't even remember looking at my phone like for more than 20 minutes the entire weekend.
I know at one point I tried to call you in the middle. It was 10 a.m. I tried to call you at 10 a.m. and your phone just hung up on me, and you had to text me from Marcus saying your phone died. Like, that's it. It was busy. Busy, man. It's, life gets the better of us, but we got football coming up. We've missed a whole bunch of things. Luckily, our hiatus was for the most part during the slow period of football. The only thing we really didn't cover was the Aaron Rodgers drama. Which obviously we will be going over today because it's a big piece of what's going
And
on.
then perfectly, the draft hit last night, so it kind of works out.
We actually got round seven going on as we speak right now. Round six, round seven going on as we speak right now. We've got, I mean, we just talked about it in pre. We've got the Knicks moving on. We'll talk some of that. We got some baseball going on. We got the Rangers winning two, dropping three, now playing game six tonight against the Devils, and then a whole lot of football to cover, man. So let's
Yeah,
get right into it.
let's fucking rip it. And you know what? Since out of all the sports that you just said, most of those sports are in playoffs. So we're gonna start with the non-playoffs, but we'll
Playoffs.
start playoffs. We're gonna start
Talk
with
about
the
playoffs.
MLB. MLB has had, you know what? Let's just say it off the rip. I'm not as mad now about the pitch clock situation. It's been going kind of smoothly and making the average about 30 minutes cut off from the game. Usually it's like a three, maybe three and a half hour game. Now it's a 2.5 hour to 3 hour game.
So funny you say that. I was just over at my buddy Justin's house for the first round of the draft the other night, and we were talking about this very thing, and it has improved baseball in ways that we both didn't expect. Like you said, it made the game shorter. I'm not mad at it, but I will completely maintain that you're still not you, but baseball is still missing the point. Like, yes, is this helping? Is the length of the games a problem? Sure. But is this the reason that you're losing fans left and right? Absolutely not. Like,
I think it's helping though. I've noticed between the pitch clock and the shift ban, where you play baseball the way it was meant to be played. You play all
right.
nine positions, not to team up on another position. I
Right.
think it's made the game more competitive. You're seeing more hits. You're seeing more stolen base. We've seen more stolen bases in this short amount of time since the season has started than we've seen in probably 15 years.
Now that I will agree with you. That has been an interesting twist to the game that I definitely enjoy, because people, that's one of the law of unintended consequences that I've seen with baseball, because that all centers around the pitch clock. The base runners know that the pitch clock is ticking. They can see the pitch clock as well. They know if you're not throwing this ball by X time, I'm out of here. We're booking it because that ball's got to be crossing the plate. So I'm fucking moving. But on the flip side, I saw a great pitcher pick off a runner the other day, faking the pitch, knowing that the pitch clock was running down, was able to pick up. So it's added. I will say it has added a certain je ne sais quoi to the game.
I will say I think it gives the advantage more to the runner.
Sure.
100%. I think it gives it more to the runner. Like you said, he can be like, all right, I know at two, you're going to the plate. So I'm already getting a three-step head start. Mm-hmm. No matter how fast the catcher moves, no matter how great his arm is, that three steps means everything.
Mm. Yeah. And I wonder if they're going to start, you know, as we see, obviously, the pitch clock continue to be implemented, are we going to see more, like, pitch outs? Like, okay, let me bait this guy into stealing, drag this pitch clock all the way down, make him feel super confident, expect a pitch out, you know, where the catcher's already standing and ready to fire that thing down to second. Are we going to see that more?
I'm actually, that's interesting that you brought that up, because with all the rules, they had put the rule that they can only throw over to first base two times before it's considered a balk and mm-hmm. they go to second. But they never said anything about pitch outs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, as we
start. But then again, it still is a pitch. Like, you could pitch out all you want, you're just going to walk the guy.
Well, sure. You better be, you know what I mean? You have to know that guy is going, because it is a gamble. You know what I mean? Obviously, you're not going to throw a pitch out on a 3-2 because you're going to walk him. You know, obviously, you better be throwing a fastball, you know, where you want it to be, because if you're just lobbing one, then he still has the jump on you. So, I mean, it's definitely an element that I think I'm just pontificating that we're going to see more as this pitch clock is going. And it's turned out to be a better thing than I thought it was. I still think they're missing the point.
Yeah.
That's my only, like, thing on it.
And on another note with the MLB, you know, we're what? Three weeks in, maybe? 4 weeks, month?
Yeah.
Over 30 games in. The Rays have been on fire. The defending champs Houston Astros have been looking like, maybe a championship slump.
Yeah.
And the Yankees are just, I get it. We have a lot. And that's going to be my excuse. Yes, it's my excuse. We have a lot of injuries.
Yes.
Stanton's out. Bader's out. Rondon's out. We like a lot of pitchers are out. That's going to be my excuse. Donaldson is out. When fully healthy. And we're still winning games, by the way. Still winning games. Fully healthy, I think we're a force to be reckoned with.
I agree with you. And look, man, it's early in the season, right? I mean, how many times have we said it here on this podcast that baseball doesn't count until the All-Star break? Nothing about this, other than just chirping and bragging rights, fucking matters, right? So let's get all the injuries out of the way now. Let's get all this shit done when it doesn't matter. Let's get everybody rest them. I don't care if your pinky is sore. If half the team's pinky is fucking sore, rest them and bring up the fucking Rail Riders for all I give a shit. Go on a 20-game losing streak right now. I don't fucking care. Let's get it out of the way. Let's get to the All-Star break, and then we'll talk. Then we'll really talk.
I think it's actually great that it's like I said, when we lose a lot and we're injured a lot in April.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up healthy toward the end of the season, we're untouchable.
100%.
When we stay healthy for most of the season, we get our injuries late, and then we have a run like we did last year.
100%. 100%. I agree with you 100%. You know, as far as the Rays starting off crazy hot, I mean, what, they went on a 12-game?
They won 13 or 14 in a row before they lost. Then they ended up losing like two in a row, but they're like, what, 21-3, 21-4, something like that?
That's wild. Now, over the, you know, counterpoint, you know, like we just talked about, over the span of 166 games, can you keep that pace? Probably not. You know, hopefully the Rays, for them, Rays fans are hoping they hit their dip sooner rather than later. But, man, what a fucking start that is.
Yeah, and you know what? It just makes it better. Because once again, it's in the toughest division in baseball, the AFC East. I mean, you hear me, AFC East.
I know. I was just I'm stuck on football right now.
Yeah. the AL East.
Same thing.
But it's, yeah, same thing. Toughest division in football. You got the Boston Red Sox, you got the Baltimore Orioles, you got Tampa Bay, you got Toronto, you got the Yankees, and all of them are honestly can easily be the best team in baseball.
I will agree with that, with the exception of the Orioles. There's where I put a stop to that. But okay,
Orioles might not be the best team in baseball, but they are definitely at the peak of their right now. Their team, peak of their team, easily like a 93-win team.
I don't know if I would go that far.
I'm telling you, I will put my money in the next 5 years. The Orioles are going to be one of the top two teams in the AL East and make probably one of the scariest runs in playoffs.
Really? You believe that much in the Orioles, huh?
Oh, man, that team is coming. Trust me. You know why? Because I've seen misery with the Knicks, with the Jets. You know, true. I've seen shit. And I've seen come-ups. And I've seen other teams that have been shit and make come-ups. And people are like, oh, that'll never come. It'll never come. And bam, the Orioles keep disrespecting that team right now. I'm telling you right now, they are going to dick slap a lot of people.
All right. You heard it here first. Baltimore Orioles are dick slapping people out here. Next 5 years, Baltimore Orioles going to put it right on the table. Like a baby's arm holding it
up. Book it. And they might get a chip. Maybe. But they got to get through some teams. There's still the Astros. There's still the Yankees. There's still Tampa Bay. There's some tough teams out there.
I respect it. It's a good transition that you brought up misery. I'm going to switch sports a little bit. The Rangers go on. You know, we're in the first round of the playoffs. They take it to the Devils. First two games, they are combined down. Score of 10-2.
Your face, my fist.
And then we go on a run of losing 3 in a row. And it gets worse as the 3 in a row go. They lose the first one overtime. Okay, fine. It happens. You weren't going to sweep the Devils. Okay. The second one, what, they lost like
5-2.
And then they just got blanked 4-0. Now they play tonight, game 6. Obviously got to win, got to force a game 7. What the fuck are we doing?
Yes, I don't understand. And it sucks because when you go up 2-0 in Jersey, because they had home field advantage, they had the better record. They had home field advantage. So you're telling me you go into their stadium, you dick slap them. Like I just said, that's going to be my new word for the episode, dick slap. You dick slap them.
Yeah.
Then you come to the Garden, playoff Garden, where people get the hottest of the hot sometimes. And you know we're ready for a win. We're ready to solidify an easy breeze to the next round. And you lose back-to-back. And you know how they get in the city. Just for you losing back-to-back, they fought each other.
Mm-hmm.
You started a fight. I guarantee you there were at least 2 fights, maybe 3, in Madison Square Garden because you guys lost.
Minimum.
Not counting the 17 that happened outside because you guys lost.
Yeah, it's killing me, man. So now you
got to come into the Garden game 6, and we got to win and then go to Jersey and try to pull out. So we got to win 2 in a row.
Yeah, 100%.
And you just went to the conference finals last year. This is disrespectful. I feel like Stephen A. Smith right now.
Yeah.
I feel like I should be talking about the Jets or the Knicks right now. Like, what are you doing? Now, you're literally making everyone say, see, I told you so. When they were like, oh, maybe it was just a hot run for them. Next year, they're going to fucking level out and be what they really are. Don't do that to me.
And after you made this move for Kane, for Tarasenko, you know, you just did this shit last year where you played fucking 3 months in a row of every other day. Game sevens, and burnt yourself out. And fucking finally lost to Tampa Bay, took them to 6, but you lost 4 in a row to them. You know, what? What are we doing? Who do I blame?
It's worse because one, I'll give a little respect to Jersey because I did not expect the Devils to be this good. I didn't expect them to have a better record than the Rangers. I didn't expect them to be this good this season.
Right.
So for us to play them in round one, like this is, it makes it more upset because this is a rivalry.
Yeah. It's the dirty dirt.
Like, are you going to allow this?
Yeah.
Are you going to allow this? I don't know what you have to do. But when you woke up, trust me, I'm going to be watching the game tonight. Mm-hmm. When you woke up this morning, every single one of you guys in that locker room, on that team, coaching staff, management, all the way down to the guy that washed the jock straps, I hope you woke up this morning and you looked yourself in the mirror and said, I'm going to wash the fuck out of that jock strap. I'm going to manage the shit out of this team. I'm going to play the best game I've ever played in my life. Because if you don't, New York will riot.
You cannot lose four straight to the Devils. You cannot. There's just not a fucking option for that. Cannot lose four straight to the Devils. First of all, you can't be bounced in the first round by the Devils. I don't care what the fucking record is. But you cannot lose four straight to the Devils. It just...
After being up 2-0.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It absolutely... Up 2-0 with a fucking 8-goal differential. The combined scores of the first two games were 10-2. Like, what are we doing here? It's not like you were squeaking these games out and just got a lucky
and it's not even like you've been scoring goals in the games that you lost. You've been getting blanked.
Blanked.
Straight blanked.
It's killing me. Killing.
This is a word that I've been using at my job for a couple months since I've been so fed up with them.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
I got a few of those unacceptables over your wedding weekend.
Oh yeah, yeah, you heard me, right? Yeah. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Yeah, yeah. There was a couple incidents during the little pause and flashback to the wedding. Wedding weekend went great.
Went great.
A lot of great times, a lot of memories, a lot of pictures. I can't wait for a lot of those to start flooding my inbox. Some downers. Unacceptable. There was a few downers on it. Me and Zach. So me and Zach, you know, wedding day where, you know, it's before the girls show up and before we do the first look and everything, I'm getting the jitters. You know, my knees are weak. Zach's posted against the wall. And then
doing the CO lean, as we call it. The CO lean.
You know, the open bar starts to load up and set up for the wedding. And I see a bunch of fucking beer. So I'm just like, I got the nerves. I need a beer. So I grabbed the beer. I looked at Zach. He gave me the bottle. I threw him the beer. I went to grab another one. The lady's just like, nah, I can't let you have that. I said, excuse me? Check yourself?
Right. Like, he's like, I'm the groom.
I'm the groom. Like, yeah. I'm paying your check right now, and I got weak knees. I'm about to see my soon-to-be wife for the first time in over 24 hours in a beautiful dress and makeup and a bunch of our friends around us. Like I need this, right? She's like, I can't let it happen.
She's like, there's laws against that. So my man's – so counterpoint. So from my angle, you know, he passes me the beer. He gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar, so that shit goes behind my back immediately. And so I'm thinking, all right, he's going to be able to get himself one. She goes, no, there's laws against that. Like, I can't serve you till we're officially open. So I dip. Like, I'm around the corner. We out. So he comes over. He's pissed. I was like, here you go. I don't need it right now. This is you. This is all you.
Yeah. Small downers in the wedding. Small downers. But unacceptable. Like, I paid a lot of money for an open bar.
I hope you and the New York Rangers listen to this. Unacceptable.
Unacceptable. You are like that open bar lady, New York Rangers. I want a beer and I want it now. And I want a victory and I want it now.
paying your cab, goddamn. That shit was hysterical. You said, but I'm the groom. She's like, laws against LA.
I'm paying your $18.50 an hour rate right now. Get the fuck out of my face. I don't want to even say the amount, but I spent tens of thousands of dollars on this wedding.
Yeah. It was a beautiful wedding. It was a beautiful time.
Amazing time.
I dropped it low and I picked it up again. That was a good time.
That whole weekend was great.
Oh, yeah. Here, hop in the back of the truck. It's right down the road. 15 miles down the highway.
My brother. Okay, so this is great. My brother, obviously a sheriff, so we kind of got away with it. But we were leaving the bachelor party. You know, we're at Top Golf, and we're like, oh, we're gonna hit the bars and the clubs. How we're getting down there? We're Ubering? Fuck that. I got my pickup truck. Hop in the back. Aren't we gonna get pulled over? I'm just gonna flash my badge.
It's right down the road.
Bro, we're on the highway doing 80.
Bro. Screaming at each other. Me and Hector leaning against the tailgate. I'm like, fuck, if this thing goes, we're fucking smoked. Anyway.
Leaving to my brother.
Oh, that was a good time. That was a good time. Unlike the time I'm having with the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers. So there you go.
Next up right now, we're going to switch it on over to the last of the two sports before we get to the main one. We're going to hit the NBA. NBA playoffs is here.
Yes, it is.
And I don't know if we have to bring up the receipts.
Receipts. We got receipts as long as Walgreens, baby. Check them.
The last time I checked, a lot of people had the Knicks as non-contenders, as getting bounced in the first round, as Jalen Brunson can't get it done, Julius Randle can't get it done, Barrett can't get it done. Well, we're one of only what? Two other teams in series that 4-1 them.
Yep.
The Knicks show Cleveland why. You know what? Yeah, we missed out on Donovan Mitchell, but we ain't need you.
We ain't need him. Josh Hart, man, that whole team, the Knicks. You know, it's one thing to win a series, you know, but the fashion in which the Knicks did it, and look,
yes,
it's against the Cavaliers. And I'm not going to sit here and say the Cavaliers are dog shit, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that they're the Lakers or anything. You know, so to keep it in context, obviously it's against the Cavaliers. But this is what you want to see, right? You want to see your team have the talent that it does and win in the fashion against the Cavaliers that they did. They need to be winning in this fashion. They can't be taking these series to 7 games and winning by a hoop or two in overtime. They've got to win dominantly and say, we are here. This is our time. Why not us?
Well, this is the thing, is that, you know, game one was a dogfight. We pulled it out. Game two, we took an ass whooping. Game three and four were still dogfights, but we ended up pulling them out and pulling away late.
Exactly.
And then game five, we came in and we kind of just put the stamp on it. So, kind of, you know, game five, they came in as collectively and we was like, all right, we demoralized them at this point. I was watching the game. The whole Cleveland Cavaliers team, the entire last game, that game five, were demoralized. They felt defeat. They had defeat. It wasn't knocking on their door. It picked them up already.
Yep.
So they were defeated that whole game. And we called it. And I'm going to continue. Knicks in six. And we said it before, our prediction was Knicks in six, but if they can take one in Cleveland and both at home, it's almost a guaranteed lock that Knicks are going to be in five.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And I'm going into this series with Miami, and I'm saying the same, Knicks in six.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks in six. We got home court advantage, Knicks in six. Can it be done in five? Yes. But I think playing in Miami is a whole different atmosphere than playing in Cleveland without LeBron.
Yep. And look, and I respect Miami, and I respect what they did in the first round, and I expect that they went in there and they played the giant killers. And you know what I mean? Like, I this is going to be a blue-collar brawl, because that's what both of these teams are, right? Miami's no longer the flashy city of lights, and it's not that team anymore. These are scrappy, young, dog-fighting teams. But if you're going to get into a street fight with a New Yorker or a dude from Miami, I'm taking the New Yorker every day of the week.
I'm telling you right now, Jimmy Butler played for Philly. He, a few years ago, was in the talks of possibly coming to New York. He ended up in Miami. That man, be afraid of and stop disrespecting.
Oh, Jimmy Butler,
I'm telling you right now, New York Knicks, if you hear this, do not take Jimmy Butler for light. Do not disrespect this man. You give him his respect, and you're not going to be able to shut him down. But you slow him down as best as possible, and you make everybody else be playmakers.
Yep.
Because that man will drop 50 on your head without blinking an eye.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Jimmy Butler is the key to that team, right? If the Knicks can slow him down and make points come off the bench, I think the Knicks are going to be fine.
Randle should be ready for game one. I know his ankle got tweaked. He should be ready. I don't want them to rush him back. 100%. I would want a fully healthy team to play against Miami game one. But at the same time, I don't want a weakness. So if he is not 100% ready, I don't mind sitting him out and running with Obi Topping, starting the squad and running through it. I think Jalen Brunson knows what's at stake. I think Brunson's going to have another breakout game. Josh Hart, I can't speak enough about how this shooting guard is out-rebounding most big men.
Mm-hmm. It's all about Hart.
It's all about Hart. This man makes the plays. And what I said in the glide, I said Hart's going to make plays when it counts the most.
Mm-hmm.
I said he started off slow. He's going to make plays when it counts the most every single time.
Yup.
And now Barrett is hot. Barrett heard all the boos for the first two or three games.
Mm-hmm. No, it's I like the Knicks in this. I just do. I think this is going to be a bigger fight than Cleveland, but I like the Knicks in this, obviously.
I'm going to say Knicks in six once again. You're going to see the Knicks. And when was the last time we said this? We're going to see the – I don't think I was born yet when we were able to say this. We're going to see the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Against Philly or Boston. Who knows?
Oh, God, I hope it's not Boston. I hate Boston.
And both of those guys are rivals. Both the guys are just think about it. Just like we said with MLB. Mm-hmm. Yankees, Toronto, Baltimore, Boston, all playoff contenders. We got almost the entire Eastern Conference from their division in the, I think it's like the Metro.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. But besides Toronto, their entire division made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to three out of the four teams to make the Eastern Conference is coming from the same division.
Yeah, the Eastern Conference is by far the better conference in comparison to East versus West. I mean, you know, I'm not going to make a finals prediction here, but the Eastern Conference is by far the hardest to get through as opposed to out West.
Honestly, when it comes to the West, we got possibly a Lakers-Golden State matchup. It comes down to Golden State still has to play Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a Golden State-Lakers matchup to decide who goes to the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
We already have Denver and Phoenix playing off.
Mm-hmm.
I think Golden State and the Lakers are going to be a great matchup.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That's always going to be a good one.
I see Phoenix kind of – I'm not going to lie. I think Phoenix takes 4 out of 5 from Denver. Denver, for some reason, always chokes in the conference finals.
That's true.
But regardless, the titles – whether Boston, Philly, or New York or Miami make the finals – it's coming out of the East.
I can respect it. I'm not as bold, but I can respect it. I respect it. I mean, I don't want to take the the bad route and calling the Lakers old because we just saw what happened to the Grizzlies after that shit happened. But the West just doesn't have that same, I don't know, just danger to me that the East does. They just the don't.
Grizzlies, last comment on NBA, when it comes to the Grizzlies, Dylan Brooks, what happens when people talk too much? The Grizzlies, shut up. Dylan Brooks talks too much. Ja Morant wasn't 100%. Steven Adams wasn't there. Like, that whole team was in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if they were 100% and they were hot, maybe. But you opened your mouth and took too big of a fucking chew.
Got fucking smoked. And then lost your final game by, what, 40, 50 points? Like, holy
yeah, fuck. You asked for 40 and you got 40.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't respect anyone until they drop 40 on me that night.
Okay. He dropped 40 back-to-back. Motherfucker gave you a 20-point, 20-rebound game, and then he beat you by 40.
Mm-hmm. What an idiot. What a fucking moron.
Anyway. All right, let's hit it. What you got for me for football? Let's get it.
You know, I've just been nonchalantly rocking this Jet Super Bowl III ring over here. What I got for you?
Don't worry, football? I'm gonna be rocking on this side the Jet Super Bowl XXIII ring.
There we go. So yeah, man. I mean, like I said in the opening, you know, we haven't been on to really cover the Aaron Rodgers drama, but I mean, recap: he's with the Jets. You know, after back and forth, I will give you a first, I won't give you a first, fighting over that. The Jets inevitably swap first rounders this year, give them a second rounder.
Pause real quick, foreshadowing, which kind of fucked us.
Yes and no. I think I know what you're talking about. I'm not entirely.
I'll let you finish, but I will just add, it kind of fucked us.
I think I know where you're going, but I'm not super mad. So swapped first this year, gave up a second this year, gave up, what, like a sixth or a seventh this year, fifth or sixth?
I think it's a fifth. I think it's a fifth, and then there's a conditional for next year that can potentially be a first if we make a playoff run.
Yeah, so it's a second next year with the chance to become a first if you play 65% of the snaps.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, so I've got my opinion. I want to hear yours first about overall, before we get into what that draft pick turned into, how do you like that trade term?
I'm glad it's done.
Yes.
I'm glad it's done. It's done with enough time that Aaron Rodgers can, and from his conference, from what we've seen, from everything, he's very happy and excited. He's already hitting the ground running. He's getting with his guys. I'm just glad it's done with enough time so that we can start getting that camaraderie. We can, obviously, the system's not a problem and all that. It's just getting on timing with your guys. That's the issue. It's getting on timing with the guys. Learning the system, everyone's going to learn that quick, especially when you got enough guys that know the system.
Yeah.
When it comes to the actual trade, I thought it was a fucking steal.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought they were going to hold off on the first round pick. But since they swapped and went two down, I was like, not as bad. We gave him a conditional, which I don't think... To me personally, I think the deal was good. Adding the conditional was just trying to buffer it to make them say yes. But I thought that was just extra, and I don't 100% agree with that because obviously he's going to play 65% of the snaps. So you got a free pick out of us.
So I agree with you 100%. I loved everything about it with the Jets. You know, to echo what you said, obviously, you know, with Nathaniel Hackett as the OC, which makes you just want to blow my brains out. Rodgers, Lazard, they're both familiar with those systems. Everyone's going to pick it up fine. I'm happy it's done before the draft. We get some work in. We get working with the rookies that are being drafted. And like you said, just it's not the system. It's the timing with the guys in the system. So I'm going to echo you on that. You know, as far as what the Jets gave up in for him. Oh, and the Jets also got like a seventh next year or something like
that. Yeah. We got like two, like we swapped the 13th and 15th and like swapped a couple extra, like another pick.
Late.
Like a sixth rounder or something. Yeah.
So I'm actually really okay with everything. Swapping first is not giving up a first to me. You dropped two positions in the same draft. That's not giving up a first to me, so that's fine. You know, a second rounder this year, we all knew it was going to happen. Jets had back-to-back second rounders. You knew we were going
to
lose
To me, second rounders are money picks.
Yeah.
Those are gold mines right there.
Mm-hmm. And especially the way the Jets hit on the second rounders. But you knew we had to give up one of them, so it was nice not to see both. I don't necessarily agree with you as far as like the second next year turning into a first being unnecessary. I think that was the price you pay for just getting this shit done. Like, it was going to get done. But I think Joe was, you know, sitting here like, you know what? The draft is coming up. We need to know what the fuck we're doing. We need to get everything together.
He might break a thumb and miss, you know, 40% of the snaps.
Yeah. And look, they might be petty as fuck and late games, God forbid, the Jets are up by 20 points
and
to the
purposely
Bears
make him miss. Nobody.
Yeah, all right, you're sitting.
Or we're blowing teams out by so much and we're sitting them.
That's what I'm saying. That's who knows? You know, but that doesn't really piss me off. Like, I felt like that was one of those necessary, like, would I rather have not done it? Of course. But is it, to me, that's like an acceptable loss. Okay, I'm willing to agree with giving you a first rounder next year if you play 65% of the snaps, so we avoid this whole Brett Favre situation, you know, kind of thing. So love the trade. You know, we've got our people, we've got the offense that we want, and draft night starts 2 days ago. And here we
go. Well, right before we hit the draft, I don't like the way that people have commented and been like, well, Aaron Rodgers joins a team that already won 9 games without him with one incompetent quarterback so far and a quarterback that just got us squeaked by, and that we're only a 9-win team again. Like, literally, we have a team built for the Super Bowl. We just need a guy that can complete the simplest of passes, and you think we're only going to win 9 games?
You know, that just makes me laugh. And now I'm the first person to say the Jets will be the Jets, but they won 9 games. They were competing with the top of the AFC East, which is arguably the hardest division in football, for most of the season, and started 4 or 5 different quarterbacks and still won 9 games.
And three of those games, we coughed up last minute. We had the game booked. 3 of those games we had booked. And we coughed up last minute. Yep. We coughed up our own playoff chance. Because everyone seems to forget, by week 7 and 8, everyone was booking the Jets for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Booking them.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting disrespected once again.
Yeah. And I misspoke before anyone comes from my head. We didn't win 9. We won 7. Hop off my dick. But the point being, we won 7.
We did. We're projecting 9.
7-9, but with 5 starting quarterbacks. Hop off my dick. And now adding a 4-time Pro Bowler. And again, I'll be the first one to say, I'm not a massive fan of the fact that we zeroed in on Aaron Rodgers from the rip. I'm not the biggest fan. I felt Jimmy Garoppolo was a better fit. I felt, not that Derek Carr was a better fit, but I felt like money-wise, that was a better choice. I felt I would rather give up 2 fucking firsts for Lamar Jackson. I've said that from the rip. You know what I mean? So I do feel that there should have been different options, but the Jets made it clear. And now that we're here, this is where we're sitting. This is what we gave up for them. This is what we're looking at. And I'm not angry. And I agree with you 100%. 7-9 with an incompetent quarterback. With Mike White, who I do love, but let's be honest, is Mike White, with a completely over the hill and washed Joe Flacco, with Chris Streveler, who, you know,
was a unicorn.
Yeah, exactly. He gave us like one amazing drive. You know what I mean? Like, so 7-9, and now we had a 4-time Pro Bowler at the only position that was fucking up.
We got offensive and defensive rookie of the year. Mind you, we lost who would have been offensive rookie of the year and now is 100% healthy. Come on.
Lost probably one of the best linemen.
To say that they're going to go from 7-9 wins is disrespectful.
Yeah. No. The Jets, you know, I don't want to do this.
If we go 9-8, Rodgers is retiring. I don't think we go 9-8.
No, I honestly, I think you can book the Jets for a minimum of 11 wins. Minimum.
I'm saying right now, Rodgers, and it's weird. Rodgers has always hit this number a lot of times in his career. Book it right now. 13.
Isn't I saw a graphic before and I don't remember exactly what the graphic is, but something it was something stupid like Aaron Rodgers has only lost three games when his defense gives up, like or it was something. Yeah, it's like he's only lost like three games when the average when his defense on average gives up less than 20 points. The
You
defense, the Jets
think our
defense on average
defense,
gives up 18.5.
who last year had to be on the field a lot, obviously,
Stupid amount.
and still was like the number three defense in the league, isn't going to be the number one defense in the league with a
Yeah.
quarterback that is going to make sure that the offense stays on the field as long as possible?
Yeah. Can you
So
imagine a
give the
rest?
defense that rest so they can go back out and make another quick play.
Yeah. Can you imagine Sauce Gardner when he doesn't have to run a marathon
I'm
every
telling
fucking?
you right now, you can book the Jets for 13 wins.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, let's get into the draft because obviously, you know, Jets went defense first rounder. But before we get to the Jets pick down there at 15, because obviously they were 13, they swapped with the Packers, so they're back at 15, and then the Packers went at 13. Let's just talk about like the top five picks, and we can talk
Yes.
about more. But
Okay.
this was interesting. Not number
So
one.
number
Bryce
one,
Young.
obviously, Young
Yeah.
goes number one.
Yeah.
When we get to two and three, before
Woof.
you get into it, I'm going to say that I'm gonna let you take over. I am extremely shocked how Texans took that back-to-back pick.
I mean, Hector just said it. So obviously, there's more than just shocking news there. But Bryce Young goes number one. Okay, obviously. CJ Stroud goes number two. You know, after all of the drafts, all of the hype, talk about how he's gonna plummet, he's gonna drop because apparently he's a fucking idiot. I didn't say that. The leaked test scores did. No one come after me. I don't know the dude from a hole in the wall. But apparently he can't fucking test for shit because he got like an 18% on a fucking test that like determines your fucking decision-making abilities in the moment, and the next lowest score was like an 87 or some shit like that. So CJ Stroud at number two was fucking wild. And
What?
then,
I never heard of that, but that's fucking nuts.
yeah, there was a whole lot of shit about him apparently like not being able to like just not think apparently. I don't know. I don't know the whole the dude from a hole in the wall. All I'm gonna say is
Made with the
quarterback from
college
Ohio
and
State.
learned nothing.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say quarterbacks from Ohio State don't make it in the NFL. That's why an Ohio State quarterback at two is wild to me. And then the Houston Texans, like you said, trade back into the number three spot with Arizona as they trade out of it and go after an edge rusher. You can call him an outside linebacker all you want, but he's an edge rusher out of Alabama, Will Anderson Jr., which. Shocking to me. You figure like Jalen Carter is gonna go there. You figure a couple other people are gonna go there.
You would think.
So and then the Colts coming. Now I know they don't have any quarterback whatsoever, but at this point, Will Levis has like a 98% chance of being drafted by the Colts, and they go Anthony Richardson.
To be drafted by the Colts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In every like mock draft ever, if the Texans didn't take Will Levis, then it was the Colts that are gonna take Will Levis. And then they go with the fucking freak of physical nature, Anthony Richardson.
The pretty much Zach Wilson of the draft.
Well, that's exactly, you know, I agree that he could be, but Anthony Richardson on paper is a freak of fucking nature. It
No,
doesn't make sense.
I think Richardson's gonna be a freak athlete. Do I think he should have been number three? No. But if he ends up being a freak athlete and he was drafted, I don't know, 17th, people would have been like, he should have been a top five court, a top five pick. So like, how do you handle it? You know what I mean?
But that's exactly it. I mean, you look at this guy. Okay, so combine things, you know, he can jump like a monster, he can run like a monster. He's He's monstrously large and can fucking move like he's fucking Kyler Murray. But then you watch his game film, and he's got like barely 50% accuracy.
He's Cam Newton 2.0.
But then he throws the ball, and you watch him throw the ball, and he's barely moving his arm. And this
he's Cam Newton.
That essentially
with a slightly stronger arm. He's Cam Newton with a slightly stronger arm.
Slightly stronger. This dude's got a fucking howitzer on his fucking shoulder. This dude fucking twitches his finger, and the ball comes out at 90 miles the fucking hour. But I don't know what to do with this kid. Obviously, the Colts need a fucking quarterback.
If they try to do what Panthers did with Cam, he'll die.
No, yeah.
They have an offensive line. He'll be able to run and use his legs. I would expect them to treat him like they treated Andrew. Take it lightly. Like they treated Andrew Luck with a better line, because the problem with Andrew Luck was the line. And they do have a great offensive line. They have like a top 10 offensive line.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck with this type of line, you let him use, because Andrew Luck had legs. Not like this guy, but he had legs. Yeah. You let him use his legs, but you let him sit in the pocket and use his arm. Let him skirt out and use his arm. Don't fucking Lamar Jackson this bitch.
But that's the thing that gets me is I would agree with you in long term, keep him healthy. But this is a dude who has 50% accuracy. How am I going to let him cook in the pocket? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not letting him throw that ball for shit, bro.
At that point, you're crossing fingers, toes. You're crossing swords, you're clenching butt cheeks, and you're hoping that your quarterback coach is competent enough to booster that 56% to at least 61.
Yeah, you need it. You need it at least.
Or at least 60. Give me 60.
The bright side is that he plays in the weakest division in all of sports.
Give me 60% completion, and I'm okay, because that's the middle of the pack.
Yeah, and I mean, luckily, he plays for the Colts, right? I mean, this is in the weakest division in all of sports across the entire fucking planet, in the AFC South. So it's not like he really – the Colts are not competing for a Super Bowl. They're barely competing for their own fucking division this year. So it's not like he has this amazing amount of pressure on his shoulders. So maybe –
I mean, they still got Jonathan Taylor. I think their defense is still slightly – they're more middle of the pack, not as dominant as they were 2 years ago.
Right.
I think all in all, they're a middle. I think, honestly, they can be one of those teams that end up like 7-10, 10-7. It just depends on how the coin flips.
That I don't inherently disagree with. I mean, anytime they play anybody in their division, it can really go either way. So that is fair. And then 5, you know, we were talking about it in the glide. And, you know, and I talked about it on Facebook with Braden. You figure the Seahawks at 5 are a lock for Jalen Carter. They need some big boys up front. And they go Devin Witherspoon. From Illinois.
Illinois. From Illinois.
Fighting Illini. You know, like, I'm not shitting on the dude because, like, he's not a bad corner, but is he number 5? And that's what you want to focus on right now?
First of all, we took last year Sauce Gardner, arguably the best corner in the league, at a top pick last year. And you're taking this linebacker who's not even the top linebacker in the class at number 5.
Well, he's a cornerback, but what gets me is
cornerback at number 5. He's not even the best cornerback.
That's that, and you just drafted Tariq Woolen and Kobe Bryant last year. Tariq Woolen, who was fighting for Defensive Rookie of the Year, who is arguably one of the best cornerbacks.
If I'm Kobe White, I'm offended, because obviously you're thinking about me, because you're not going to move Woolen.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, what are you? I just don't understand it. What are you?
Obviously, Colbs and Braden, shout out to Noble Sports and Jack and Can. Go listen to them boys. Them boys is always fucking having a jump off on their episodes. It's just the need was obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to get after the quarterback in your division. And so what, you drafted this guy at five to move a sophomore, one of your corners that you just drafted last year, to what, a nickel corner? Like, what are you? I don't know. I just don't understand it. You need to get after the quarter. You don't have a defensive line that is really.
And then you let him drop to no. You can't even be upset at the Seahawks. You let that man drop not one, but like four picks. The man dropped to the team that went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You let that man drop to the team that went to the Super Bowl.
Yep. Yeah, we'll talk about the Philadelphia Bulldogs. Don't you worry. I'll get there. And then I find another pick because, you know, this is interesting. Obviously, I said before, the Cardinals traded out of the third where they dropped back to six. All the noise, the Kyler Murray noise, the new head coaching staff, all of this, and they go offensive tackle. And they apparently are putting their eggs in the Kyler Murray basket. They didn't go after, you know, Will Levis here. They didn't go after a quarterback or anything. They're protecting Kyler Murray, which I find very, very interesting, seeing as Buda Baker wants out, DeAndre Hopkins wants out.
Bro, the entire team was like, yo, this man, he's talented, just mindset, not for the NFL. That's what they say. He is a completely talented for the NFL. He's a mindset of a fucking six-year-old, and no one wants to play with him.
Yep.
The entire team wants out. So what are you thinking? Instead of, why would you pay guaranteed money of 100 more than Deshaun Watson is making? This man is making more guaranteed money in his contract than Deshaun. Let's just put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And no one wants to play with this man, but yet everyone wants to play for Lamar Jackson.
Yep. They're either putting their eggs in that basket or saying, fuck it, we'll get a great OT this year, tank the fucking season, and go get a quarterback early next year. Those are the only two options
And like I said, it's sad. Great talent. He could have been one of those Russell Wilson types, Drew Brees, where you have the height, like where you're short and you have one of those great careers, but your mindset is that of like you're freshly going to college and you think like it's just party and games right now. Like it's right. just not, you think you can skip some classes and you got the brains enough to fucking pass. Like,
yeah,
you can barely do that freshman year in college. In high school, you could squeak by with that. In college, trust me, I thought I could do that. I tried to squeak. I barely squeaked by with that bullshit. I really need to put my face in the fucking books and do some shit.
Yeah. Life ain't sweet in the NFL. You got to go put the work in. And I don't know what's going on in Arizona. They've got to be taking the mindset of, fuck it, let's build an offensive line now, and when we tank next season, we'll at least be able to protect our quarterback.
Who is he throwing to? Besides Hollywood Brown, who they signed last year, obviously, for like 3 years, I think like 2 or 3 years. He might leave next year. D-Hop's possibly on the move. They're trying to retain him, but he probably wants out. Like, that entire Cardinals team's in shambles.
That's why I figured they would have gone.
All because you drafted this one dude.
I figured they would have gone like JSN or like Zay Flowers, something to fill, you know, to replace who inevitably.
The Cardinals were on a rise, and then the minute they drafted Kyler Murray, he instantly planted fucking mold and poison and toxicity, and it just like he took over the Ags organization week one.
I'm going to skip the 7 pick because I think the Raiders going D-end is fine. Obviously, you need somebody across from Crosby. 8, they just drafted last year. The Falcons just drafted a star running back, and now they go again to the running back pool and draft number 8 overall, Bijan Robinson. What? You just got Tyler Allgeier.
No, I think this is amazing. Cordell Patterson, they already know he's old.
Yeah, for sure.
Productive, old. They're either going to find a sucker for Cordell Patterson or they're going to release him. Allgeier, great rookie season, 1,000-yard rusher, a little bit inconsistent. A little bit inconsistent. Bijan Robinson, solidified starter. Book it right now.
Yeah, but
solidified. The only thing I'm worried about is that he has a little bit of like the he's heavy on he's a lesser Saquon Barkley, but right. He gives me more of the CJ Spiller elusiveness.
Right, right.
From old Buffalo, and I feel like he might tear an ACL at one point. Let's lock on some everything.
Right, obviously we don't wish.
Stay healthy. That man's gonna make a Breece Hall impact. He's gonna make a Breece Hall impact. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, you draft him at number 8, you fucking better. I just get real, like, I can't imagine having drafted a running back last year and then going top 10 running back again this year. I don't know.
I spoke to you with the Falcons because I think their receiver core is all right. They got, I think London is
true.
London can be a number one if you get him the right quarterback.
Well, and we don't know what we got out there with Desmond.
But that's the issue. At number 8, there was no, I mean, they could have got Will Levis, but I don't think he fits that system.
No, I don't think you go quarterback because you haven't seen what you can get out of Ritter yet. So I don't think you go quarterback, and I think your offensive set, but especially what you've got nobody over there on defense. You didn't think, again, Jalen Carter. Like,
I think Jalen Carter in Atlanta was perfect.
That's
what I think Jalen Carter in Atlanta, like, it literally, like, he was moving 3 blocks down.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just can't imagine not. And especially knowing, I don't know. I just, you know me, how I feel about running backs, right? I feel like you're better off drafting running backs in the second round because
Bijan Robinson was one of those guys. When I watched the game against him and the Gamecocks, and then that's when I really started to watch him. He is worthy of a top 10 pick. Can he stay healthy? Can he pull off one of those multiple running? As long as he stays healthy, he can pull off one of those 4 or 5 year runs where he has multiple rushing titles.
Well, I mean, like I said, drafted at 8, he for the Falcons concern, he fucking better.
But I don't know the Falcons offensive line. Obviously, yeah. Cordell Patterson in the rushing game did well enough.
Right.
Let's see.
And then the Eagles move up. They move up to number 9. They trade with Carolina, who had their pick through Chicago. And they just solidify themselves as the Philadelphia Bulldogs, and they get Jalen Carter, just adding and adding and adding to that Bulldog defense back there. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
The Eagles are going to the Super Bowl again.
You got an 11-man defense and 6, 7 are Bulldogs who all played on the national championship title game together.
Yeah. Yeah, especially after, you know, a little bit of spoiler alert, especially later on when they drafted at 31, drafting Nolan Smith, one of the linebackers out of fucking Georgia that just played on that national championship defense. So they just, they've got Alabama's offense, they've got Georgia's defense. I have a feeling that Howie Roseman specifically is just, These are schools I'm pulling from, and you can fuck off. Like, if you're not from Georgia and you're not from Alabama, do not get.
If you take the best offense and the best defense from college and you make an NFL team out of it, well, what you would expect?
Yeah, you go to the Super Bowl. I mean, what else? So, I mean, and look, it's a great. I can't even be mad at the Eagles for this. It's a great fucking pick. Both of them.
It's working. No, honestly, when you talk to someone and you say, yo, who got the steal of the draft? The Eagles did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this man should have never dropped to first of all, the Eagles should have never had to move up. But the minute they see this man drop, they moved up. This man should have never dropped out of the top fucking 6.
Yeah, I would have said like top 3.
I knew he was going to drop because of some of his off-field, you know, some of that, but I'm thinking like 4 to 7.
Yeah, And then, oh, let's not forget, they also traded for DeAndre Swift out of the Lions. So, you know, let's just, fuck it. Georgia Bulldogs everywhere. I mean, what? So that's, the count is now up to 10. 10 starters on either side of the ball are, fuck, 10 out of 22 starters on offense and defense are fucking Georgia Bulldogs.
And awesome. I would say probably another 4 or 5 are Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. They almost are consisted entirely of Georgia and Alabama. It's almost interesting. I'm not really that mad at it. Not really that mad at it. You know, I'm going to skip 10 with the Chicago taking a lineman, fine. 11, the Titans taking a lineman, obviously. But to get to your point, you know, and obviously the Lions drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, which is why they traded Swift. But to get to your point, this is the meat of the conversation that we were bringing up before. Packers moved up to 13. They take a D end, whatever, doesn't affect us in the slightest. But this is what gets us, is at 14, the Patriots move out and switch with the Steelers, and the Steelers take Broderick Jones, Georgia tackle. Jets could have used him. As I have the feeling that that's where you're going with that conversation. Yeah,
that was where I was going. And I blame the projections.
Yeah.
You know, I blame the analysts and stuff like that. Like, this man, everyone knew it. He was going to land right in our lap.
Yep.
And if we would have kept the 13th, we would have stolen him.
Yeah.
And the Patriots and Bill Belichick does what Bill Belichick and the Patriots do.
Fuck over the Jets.
They fuck over the Jets. Just like when Bill was supposed to be the Jets head coach. And the next day, he was just like, you know what? Right before the conference, he was like, bah, 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 bah. That's what they did.
Horns and everything.
No, literally. They were like, yeah. And Bill Belichick. And it was like, bah, 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 bah. And the guy walked out and it was just like, F you.
So while I agree that the Jets definitely could have used O-line depth, and I mean, you could have switched any of these guys, right? I mean, from Paris Johnson to obviously Broderick Jones, Peter Skoronski, Darnell Wright, you could have swapped any of these guys and that would have been great fits for the Jets. But hopefully, right, say this for like 2 years, Mekhi Becton comes back. We're getting Elijah Vera Tucker back. We could have used depth, obviously.
That's what I thought we were going to do.
But, you know, so I'm not necessarily upset about it. But getting an edge rusher like we did in Will McDonald, you know, I'm not mad at that either. This kid's long.
Look, I get it. We lost Sheldon Rankins, but we have edge rushers, and we've proven that last year. We have edge rushers to just cycle through. Cycle through. We have so many to cycle through, you won't remember a name before they pat back up on the field. My thing is, I really, really thought, okay, they took that man, protect Aaron Rodgers. That's it. That's really the main focus is because that's the weakest part of our team right now. Protect Aaron Rodgers. Whether the guy was going to be a second depth person, third depth person, a guy that you develop into stuff, you protect Aaron Rodgers. You get this man something to be like, all right, if week two, this man goes down with an ankle, we could plug this man in an instant.
You know, and I definitely agree with you, but the beauty of what the Jets did later in the draft, I'm trying to find it here in either the second or the third. I don't think we had.
I like the center move.
That's what I was going to say.
Because we went back and brought back McGovern.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. We brought back McGovern. And then you know, to your point, yes, I 100% agree that the line is the weakest part of the Jets, you know, right now. But you can get amazing linemen third, fourth round, especially, you know, like you said, we drafted this center out of Wisconsin. You never miss with Wisconsin linemen.
Book it. Book it right now. We said what we said. Wisconsin linemen are some of the best linemen in college.
100%. What, you never miss.
I guarantee you, by mid-season, the guy that we just drafted is the starting center, and we put McGovern back to right guard where he was originally.
Oh, for sure. For 100% sure. You know, and I'm scrolling through here again. Sorry, I haven't had, like, written down the name. But then we got Carter Warren out of Pittsburgh, which is, like, a New Jersey native, so he's a homecoming. You know what I mean? Pitt's got a great fucking line as well. I agree. Like I said, I agree with you that they need depth, but I'm not as mad as missing out on, like, one of those top five guys, especially when we got a top edge rusher. And like you said, we are just cycling fucking A-plus edge rushers every play. We're never going to get tired.
And when we need to get rid of them, compensation.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm not really that mad about missing out on the top lineman going for Will McDonald, because I want to bring it back to this dude. If you watch any of his highlights, if you watch his game film, holy shit. I mean, first of all, quick stepness off the ball is great. Great motor, tracks the ball very well. He is technically an outside linebacker, so yeah, there's a few times where he's dropped into coverage, plays that well, obviously dropping into flats and shit, right? He's not running with anybody down the field. But his arms, he's got like a 7.5-foot wingspan. His arm, he just fucking bullies, dude. Even when he's coming in on like a three technique and he's coming in, you know, to bull rush.
I think that's not
speed step outside. He's just big and strong, yeah. Man.
I think that's just Salah's game plan. It's hybrid. Yeah. Guys that can play both down in the line and have the strength and physical ability and the speed to play linebacker. Corners that can play shutdown corner and safeties that can play both linebacker and safety. So you're starting down the middle, you got shutdown corners, and you got defensive linemen that are just fucking, like, it's just a bunch of fucking dogs going at it.
Yeah, I mean, look, Salah has made it very clear what his – what his plan is, right? And it's something that we've always talked about that we liked even before Salah comes in. We're going to get after the quarterback. We're going to leave our corners and safeties on an island because fuck you, that's why. And we're going to get the fuck after you. And we've got Carl Lawson, Quinnen Williams, who hopefully we can lock up a deal, you know, and extend him. We've got now Will McDonald. You know, we have just got how many guys that can just rotate through any of these positions and just fucking dogs, just get after it. So again, would a lineman, a top lineman have been nice here? Sure. We went for depth later and I'm not mad about that. But getting a guy who can just slip into this rotation seamlessly and make day one impacts, I'm not mad about that.
I don't know if he plays middle or not, because I know TJ might be on the move eventually. But like you said, I'm really not, and I've been saying it after Rodgers' deal was solidified, I'm really not mad with anything we do in the draft, because at this point, our team is what our team is, and we're set, we're locked in no matter what. The draft picks did absolutely nothing to what the outcome of our season is going to be.
Yes and no. So I think I agree with the point that you're getting at. So I think last year was the big building the team draft. This is where we make our statements, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner. This is where we make our statement. Last year, we built the team that we really felt we needed to have. And then Zach Wilson fucked it up for us. But we built the Super Bowl team that we felt we needed. And it almost fucking worked, except for the quarterback position. We went and we got Aaron Rodgers. We filled that gap. Now we're just looking for athletes. We are looking for big, strong, fast, and smart who can fit in where we need them. We're not looking for big splash plays. We're not looking to trade back up into number three like the Texans.
Just make the play. Just make the play.
Exactly. We're looking for blue-collar workers in this draft, and I think the Jets absolutely got them. Absolutely got them. We drafted in the sixth round a running back out of
He has a weird name. I'm not going to try to say it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to fuck that up.
I'm going to fuck that up.
There's like 16 vowels. Like, I'm fucking that.
All those type of letters together, I'm done.
Yeah, I can't do that. But he moves like a bat out of hell. I mean, obviously, he's not going to take Breece Hall's fucking spot, but another guy might, who can run like a bat out of hell, back it up.
He might top Ty Johnson out of the third spot.
And I'm not mad at that at all. We got this kid, Zaire Barnes, outside linebacker from Western Michigan. Again, I don't think he's going to be a day one. He's not going to be a day one starter. He's probably not going to be more than a rotational guy. But I'm not going to get mad when we have amazing athletes in our rotation that, okay, our main guy needs a couple of plays off, or we need, you know what I mean, some depth at this position. This guy comes in and he's flying all over the field. Because that's what you watch Zaire Barnes fucking a game film. This dude moves. He's going to make great plays on special teams too. So this is definitely the draft where Joe Douglas sat back and said, you know what, let's get some draft capital. I don't mind trading back. I don't mind doing this, but let's build. We have the foundation. We have the everything. Let's start putting decorations in. Let's start putting the rug down. Let's start putting that.
He is taking a chance on the line, but
you know what? I don't think it's as big of a chance as you're saying that it is. I like going for depth later on. You know, obviously those big guys would have been nice. You know, I'm a huge fan of Skoronski, but I'm not super mad at it. I'm not super mad at it, especially when we have to play Josh Allen twice a year. We've got to get after the quarterback, and McDonald's going to help that rotation do that, you know? So that's kind of the big news that we've got coming out of this draft. I'm sure other, you know, fans of their teams would like me to talk about, or like us to talk about their draft more, but I'm not going to, because it's a lot, 7 rounds that are still going on right now. But that's like,
yeah, the it's big, not big WNBA one. Where it's 2 rounds.
Yeah, like, cut me some slack here. But those are kind of the big moves. You know, obviously JSN from Ohio State went to the Seahawks, so I'm sure Brayden's happy about that. He fell a little bit. Dalton Kincaid, tight end out of Utah, went to the Bills. I thought he was going to go way earlier than fucking 26th. But other than that, man, I mean, it all seemed to shake out pretty much, with the exception of the first 10 kind of going weird, the way we expected it to, with a lot of teams just doing what they got to do. But I like the fact for once that the Jets are in a position that they don't need – to make statements, right? We don't need to trade up and get this guy. We don't need that guy. We're just building depth in this draft. And I like being in that position for once.
Yeah, no. And honestly, the only shock was how they projected the Will Levis kid.
Yeah.
And how he dropped all the way to 33rd to the Titans, who I honestly, great pickup for them.
Oh, for sure.
Because I know you got Malik Willis.
Yeah,
but honestly, like, you're stuck on Ryan Tannehill. You didn't give that kid the chance a day. I think you're looking for the Ryan Tannehill type of kid with a stronger arm. I think that's him.
Yeah, oh, 100%, for sure. That's, you know, that's a good point that you bring up. Will Levis, again, was, like, 100% on everybody's board in the top 5. For him to fall to 33rd was wild. For him to fall to 33rd, and the Titans drafted up to go get him at 33 is wild. You know, so now they've got quite the not conundrum, but you got, you know, like you said, now Will Levis, Malik Willis back there. I don't know a Titans fan that actually likes Malik Willis, so we'll see how that pans out. And I mean, I didn't think
he was a bad pick. I thought he was going to be the starting quarterback. And I stay true to it. I thought he was going to be the starting quarterback.
And look, I mean, there's still room for fucking Derrick Henry to get on the move. We still don't know what's going to happen with that. So, who knows, you know? But again, one of the weaker divisions in football, so does it really matter that much, you know?
Yeah, it's all about the Jets anyway.
Yeah, Jets win the Super Bowl. Win the Super Bowl. Go in.
It's either going to be Jets, Seahawks, or Jets, Eagles.
Yeah, 17-0. First team in the 17-game era.
Well, 17 and 20-0.
Yeah, 20-0.
20-0.
I like it.
Aaron Rodgers winning his 5th MVP. Garrett Wilson, offensive player of the year. Quinnen Williams is going to be defense. Sauce is going to be defensive player of the year.
Let me come back to that real quick. Just to kind of talk about, you know, how the Jets haters are like, oh, they won 7 games. Aaron Rodgers, they're only worth 9. Garrett Wilson was the rookie of the year with 5 different quarterbacks throwing him the football.
And they'd be like, oh, but Olave should have won it. Oh, but London should have won it. Oh, but K-9 should have won it.
could you imagine, and we won't have to because we'll get to see it here in a few short weeks, Garrett Wilson, his production with Aaron Rodgers, that's going to be insane.
Bro, I'm telling you right now what he had last year, 11-something in yards, 11-something. Yeah. You could almost book 14.
Oh, that's without – yeah, that goes without saying for me. That goes
almost book 14.
Yeah.
Because Garrett Wilson, if you don't know, he gets the ball and he makes moves. Like, he gets yacked.
That's the thing, is he's a great route runner, 100%, but that's where he fucks you up, is that yak yardage. He is just a monster. He is a playmaker anytime he touches
that ball. He'll pick a five-yard dig route into 20 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we fucking see it. That's what won him the fucking Rookie of the Year, is him being able to turn stupid fucking passes into phenomenal plays. So yeah, I'm excited for this season. I said that shit to Sarah the other day. She's like, "Why? You do this every fucking year. You say you're like, I'm excited for this season. 3 weeks in, you're ready to shoot yourself." So
I'm
gonna follow the same fucking.
No, we're all sold into this one.
Same fucking pattern that I do every fucking year. I'm going to put on this Jets Super Bowl theme ring. We'll say the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl. We're going to have to get a new replica ring for the 2023 season. And then I'm going to want to fucking kill myself 4 weeks in. So, you know, be ready to put me on the list. Well, in my defense, last year it happened after 7 weeks. So I wanted to be put on a list after 7 weeks last year. So at least the length of time is increasing. And that's all I could really ask for in Jets world. So anyway.
And that's pretty much bringing down the tape.
That's what
we said.